Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. As we look into His Word in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, the story of the 10 lepers, the one that was healed and who gave glory, and the 9 who walked away, and the nature of our faith in God. Before we do that, go grab your Bibles, pens and notebooks, and let us pray. Father in heaven, your word is full of depth and glory. We ask now, as we look into your Bible, that you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, that we may learn marvelous things from your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at the passage, Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." All right, let's start at the beginning. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So here he is in a place where he's going south. He's heading towards Jerusalem. In that case, the Samaritans would want nothing to do with him normally. He's on the border of Galilee and Samaria. So some of the lepers were Galileans, and at least one of the lepers was a Samaritan. And they were in a desperate situation with leprosy. Their lives were ruined. They had to stay at a distance. They were rejected. And the Samaritan was doubly rejected. He was rejected because of his religion that the Jewish people hated and despised. He was rejected because of his leprosy. And here, God had mercy on him. Now, as a Samaritan, he had very bad theology. The Samaritan theology is pretty much what you would call New Age theology today. It had a bit of Jewish theology, it had some stuff to Zeus, and a bit of this and a bit of that. It was all thrown together and is what you would call false teaching. But still, this man who was full of false teaching, who was from the wrong geographical area, from the wrong inheritance, whose area had been taken over by various tribes in the past, this group, this outcast group, contained a person of true faith who'd return and give thanks to God despite the messed up conditions of his life. So here Jesus is someone who is going to have mercy on these desperate people. And they lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So what's mercy? Mercy is being kind to someone you don't have to be kind to, who you have no legal obligation to be kind to, and who may have actually offended you or hurt you in some way. I think you might have seen the movies where there's a duel going on, and one person wins and one person loses, and the person who loses is on the ground, and the sword is held to their throat, and they say, "Mercy." And the one who is the victor can have mercy and lift the sword and let the person go. or they can be ruthless and run them through. They have every right to do that. But here, we're finding out that God is merciful. He doesn't want to run us through with the sword. He wants us to live. He wants us to have life. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us, you and I, to be healed of all our afflictions. And he wants us to be healed of the greatest affliction of all. And what's the greatest affliction of all? It is our sin that separates us from God. It is our sin. And if we continue in that sin, we will end up in the fires of hell. Leprosy is bad. I have seen a leper once in Manila, and his face was eaten away by the leprosy. And you could see into his face. There was no nose. The bones of his skull were bare from the leprosy that was eating him away. That is bad. But there is something worse than leprosy, and that is sin. Sin destroys our soul just like leprosy destroys the body. Now, leprosy makes people unable to feel. They can put their leprous hand in the fire and feel nothing and it will burn. And that is part of the trouble. They suffer injuries and they don't even know they've been injured because their nerves are damaged by the leprosy virus that eats away at their nerves. And now, fortunately, there are medications for leprosy these days. And Hansen's disease is its new name, and there are missions and missionaries out to cure. But there is a greater disease than leprosy, than Hansen's disease. It is the sin that corrodes our soul and makes us unable to know that we have sinned. It makes us unable to know that we have damaged our soul, our spirit, and our lives. Sin separates you from God. Sin makes you unable to understand spiritual truth. Sin makes you unable to understand when you've committed a sin, when you've hurt other people, when you've damaged your relationship with God. You see, very sinful people, they're stubborn. They don't take feedback. You can tell them this is wrong and they will not listen to you. Why? Because the sin has damaged their soul. They have no feeling left. They are unfeeling in terms of spiritual terms, in terms of moral terms. They are determined to remain in their sin. And sin is like that. It separates us from God. It separates us from the kingdom of God. It separates you from the holy angels and all the blessings that God can send your way. If you are to be blessed, you must turn to God. And you must say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. That's an ancient prayer from the beginning days of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Cry out to God. Say, have mercy on me. Save my soul now. Forgive my sins now. Heal me of all my iniquity now in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you cry out to Jesus, he will heal you of your sin. You will be born again. You will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive eternal life. Your spiritual eyes and ears will be opened. You'll be able to understand spiritual things and moral things and good things, and your life will turn around in what is called repentance. You'll put away the evil from your life. You will turn away from drink and drugs and fighting and all the silly things and stealing, and you will turn to righteousness because God has had mercy on you, and he has given you a new spiritual life. He's given you abundant life. So you need to cry out now, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. If you're lost, if you know you're not yet saved, you know you're not yet a true Christian, maybe you're just a church-going Christian, maybe you've read a bit of the Bible, maybe you've heard a few Christian songs, but it hasn't clicked for you yet, turn to God and say, I don't want to stay any longer in the leprosy of sin. I don't want to stay any longer in this spiritual disease I am in. I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, save me now. Have mercy on my soul. And God, who is merciful, will rescue you. For God has mercy on those who have on those he chooses to have mercy. And all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's your promise. All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy will be saved. And Jesus is God's mercy incarnate, walking around the earth, and he's still available now because he's risen from the dead and he is in the heavenly realms, and you can cry out to him for mercy on your soul. So they cried out to mercy, and Jesus gives them an instruction. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. By saying that, he was declaring that they were healed. Because when a leper was healed, when the skin disease had gone away, they would go and show themselves to the priest. The priest would do some tests and say, it's gone. Your leprosy is gone. Your skin disease has gone away. You can now rejoin society. So he's saying, you're healed. You can now apply to rejoin society. You can go back to your friends and your relatives. You don't have to stand at a distance anymore. It was saying, like, go and get your human being license back. Like, we get a driver's license back. Well, this was a license to rejoin society. He's saying, go, rejoin society and get on with your life, get on with your work, get on with rejoining your families. You don't have to stand at a distance anymore because I have healed you and I'm going to heal you. Now, when he gave them that instruction, it wasn't yet obvious that they were healed. It was as they went to the priests, as they obeyed God, as they obeyed the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were healed. Now, we have to take action to receive salvation. We have to do the steps that are necessary. And that's true in physical healing, and it's true in spiritual healing. Many doctors complain that their patients are not healed because only 50% of patients take their medication. And so they are not healed because they're not taking their medication in a way that will heal them. If you get malaria, you can suffer with malaria, or you can go and get some anti-malarial pills, which will make your life much easier. But if the anti-malarial pills are just sitting on the shelf, they're doing you no good. You have to take the chloroquine, or you have to take whatever malaria medication you need, and then you will get better, but you have to take it. And so you have to take the instructions of God seriously. I had some physical therapy on my arm recently because I had terrible shakes, and I had to do the exercises. If I hadn't done the exercises, the shakes would still be here. But I did the exercises, and I was healed. We have to follow God's instructions. And as we follow God's instructions, just like we follow a doctor's orders, instead of being healed physically, we are healed spiritually. In this case, though, the spiritual thing was that they were healed. And as they turned, as they obeyed God, as they obeyed the instructions that Jesus gave them, they were healed. And from time to time, God may give you a certain instruction in your life. He might say, go and forgive your mother-in-law. And you go, I don't want to do that. He says, go and forgive your mother-in-law. And you go and forgive your mother-in-law. You make up with your mother-in-law. And not only is your mother-in-law healed, but you are healed. The bitterness is gone from your soul. You're back on good relationships with your family and with your wife's family and so on and so forth, or with the husband's family. You are set back in relationship with people as you go and you obey God. But if you didn't go to your mother-in-law, if you didn't seek reconciliation, that dispute would be there, and that dispute could go on for years and years. You would not be healed. It would remain there because you're failing to obey the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want God's healing, then you have to do the things that are there in the Bible, such as forgiving one another, reconciling with one another, encouraging one another, doing the things that you don't want to do, but which God has instructed you to do. And as you obey God, you will be healed, your life will be straightened out, and you will have a much better existence than the existence you have now. Healing comes as we obey. So they went to show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed. As you go, as you obey the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, as you believe the word of God and put it into action, you will be cleansed, you will be healed, you will be blessed. Blessings come from obedience. Obedience comes from believing the word of faith and walking it out. And as we see in the last verse, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. What made him well? Believing God and obeying God. That's faith. Faith is believing God so much that you actually obey God. Just as Moses did, he believed God at the burning bush. He had a spiritual encounter with God, and he went and he obeyed God and set himself up against Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. As you go, as you obey, even reluctantly as Moses did, you will be cleansed, you will be blessed, you will have a victory. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So here we have this Samaritan. He comes back. He falls at Jesus' feet and he praises God. When we get blessings, we should give praise to God and praise to God publicly. Other people saw this. The disciples were with him. There were people around. They saw this miracle. They saw this great thing happen. And he came back. He was blessed publicly and he gave God thanks publicly. And it was extravagant. He was on his face on the ground, giving thanks to Jesus, giving thanks to God. So we need to give thanks publicly by testimony. You might be able to go down the front of your church and testify. Maybe your church will allow it, maybe they won't. Some have different kinds of worship services. But you ask the pastor, can I give thanks to God? And if not, put it on Facebook. Put it on WhatsApp. Tell your friends and family. Glorify God publicly with praise, because there is power in praise. And there is great power in rejoicing. And there's a book by Merlin Carruthers called From Prison to Praise. And this tiny little book is such an encouraging book. From Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers. Perhaps you can get it on Amazon. He talks about the power of praise transforming his life. He was a very rebellious young man who got into trouble in the army, and I think he ended up in the army jail for doing something like stealing a car, and all sorts of things happened to him. And eventually he got out of that prison, he learned to praise God, and he led a powerful life of praise and giving glory to God. Praise and thanks is what we're doing in heaven. We all know that. We've seen the scenes in Revelation 4 and 5, where everyone is giving praise and glory to the Lamb and to the Father, and to God who's on the throne, who created all things by his will and his power. We are to rejoice always. We are to give thanks in all things, for that is God's will for you. So you're to be a person of praise. Now, why did this person give praise and the others walk away? Well, here is my theory. The nine that walked away were probably Galileans. They were used to Jesus. He was always around Galilee doing this or that, and they were presumptuous. They said, oh, well, we got a miracle from Jesus. That's great. And they treated Jesus like a miracle vending machine. We would go round and round the villages of Galilee doing this and that. And later on in Matthew 10, it says that if the miracles that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained to this day. They treated Jesus as a spiritual vending machine, a miracle vending machine. And they were not particularly grateful that they were healed. But this Samaritan, he'd been a long way from all the action. He was just there in Samaria. He was there with his broken life, broken theology, broken existence. And now he was healed. And he said, I'm not taking you for granted, Jesus. I'm coming back to give you thanks. Now, you shouldn't take Jesus for granted. You shouldn't take his forgiveness of your sins for granted. You shouldn't take the fact that he's given you the Holy Spirit and eternal life for granted. You should praise God and say, I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I thank you, Lord, that I have the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that I have eternal life. And recently, the other day, I was looking back over my life and I thought, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Through all the mistakes I have made, and as a human being, I've made some, and I've made some big ones. But God has forgiven. God has cleansed. God has renewed. God has established me. God has provided. God has done great things. And when you look at your life, after you've been in the Lord a little while, you can look back and say, God has done great things for me. I am not afraid. I am not ashamed. I know my Lord is a God of mercy, and he shows his mercy to me in my ups and my downs, my trials and my tribulations, all my fears and stress and strain. They are under the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy is not something to be presumed upon. Mercy is something to give thanks and praise to God for. And we do not walk away from God saying, oh, well, just another miracle, Lord, thank you for that. No, we should give public praise. We should give public thanks to God. We should turn up regularly in church and sing praises and hymns of worship and spiritual songs to God, because you are thankful. And living a life of praise and thankfulness is a discipline, because the flesh is always complaining. Your flesh is always ungrateful. Why haven't you done this for me, God? Why haven't you done the other? And so we need to be people of praise, gratitude, and thanks. And then Jesus says, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? But he was a foreigner who had been healed in two ways. To be healed from his alienation to the Jewish people and to God. God had had mercy on him, even as a Samaritan, and God had cleansed his leprosy. And he said to him, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. Well, obviously, God healed the leper, but there was something else going on here. He says, your faith has made you well. How do we know he had faith? Well, partly because Jesus said so. He says, you had faith. We know he had faith because he made an appropriate response to God. He turned back and gave thanks. He bowed down on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrated. This is the reaction of faith. It's not a reaction of presumption. It's not a reaction of ingratitude. So even though the Samaritan had terrible doctrine, he cried out to Jesus and he had the faith that is the human connection to God, where our spirit connects to God's spirit and shows thanks, praise, and gratitude. Faith isn't just an academic thing, otherwise Jesus would not say he had faith, because the Samaritan as yet had very, very little or no theology of any sort. He just knew that Jesus healed people. He cried out to Jesus. Jesus healed him. He had faith that there was a God somewhere who could have mercy on him. He had faith that God existed and rewards those who seek him. That's all the faith he had. That there was a God somewhere who could reward him, who did exist, who could heal him, who had healed lepers in the past, and could heal this Samaritan leper right now. And his faith healed him. His faith was a mustard seed faith. It was tiny, it was small, but it was enough to heal him of his leprosy. You see, faith isn't a rational thing. Faith is a spiritual thing. There are many people who are very rational who never have the faith to be healed of leprosy. But this man did have the faith to be healed of leprosy. He did have the faith to ask for mercy from Jesus. He did have the faith to cry out to God. And the faith that he had made him well. Now, let me be careful. I am not saying that the people who are not healed because they did not have enough faith. But in this case, the people who are healed because they do have faith. Jesus states it explicitly. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, faith will heal you. Faith will make you well. First of all, faith will save you, because you're not saved by your own works, but you're saved by grace through faith. Your salvation will make you, your faith will bring you the salvation that makes you well. You'll be made well spiritually as you believe in Jesus. As you say, Lord, you're touching me now. You want me to believe in you now. Yes, I will believe. Yes, I will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith will cleanse you spiritually. You'll be born again. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll be forgiven of your sins. You'll receive eternal life. Your faith in Jesus, your saving faith, will make you well. Not the works of the law, but the saving faith. For it is not, we are not saved by our works, but we are saved by grace through faith. God is pouring out his grace towards you. He wants you to have mercy. He wants you to have the good things. He wants you to have abundant life. But you have to have faith. And your faith will lay hold of the grace and you will be made well. Just as this man cried out for mercy, the mercy was there in the heart of Jesus. He cried out for it. He believed for it. He received it. And he was healed of his terrible leprosy, just as you can be healed of your terrible sin or your depression or whatever is afflicting your life. Your faith will make you well. And you need to be made well in multiple dimensions. physically, mentally, spiritually. You need to be made well and made fit for the kingdom of God and heaven. That's the main thing that needs to happen. You need to walk away from your sin, from your bad habits, from your grumpiness, from the hate in your heart, from the resentment, from any stupid things you're doing, from every sinful action and thing. You need to walk away for that and say, Lord, forgive me, have mercy on me, cleanse me of my iniquity, and your faith in Jesus and the mercy of God will make you well. Because God's always there. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to have eternal life. He wants you to have eternal life right now. He wants you to believe in him right now. And as you believe that it's possible for you to be saved, as you believe that touch in your heart and your mind that God wants to connect with you and save you, as you hear God's voice speaking to you, believe that God wants to save you. Believe that sensation that you are receiving, that God wants to accept you into his heavenly family. Believe God. Have faith in God. Trust as he reaches out to you. Latch on to God and be saved. And he will deliver you from your demons. He will deliver you from alcohol and addictions. He will deliver you out of bad relationships. He will deliver you out of all the craziness of life. And he will turn you around and he will give you abundant life. The thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't want to be under the power of the devil. But Jesus, the good shepherd, has come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants you to be healed. Jesus wants you to be cleansed. Jesus wants you to have abundant life. And he wants you to have that abundant life right now. So I'm asking you, I'm exhorting you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Cry out and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and grant me eternal life. Pray with me this short prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins and grant me eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins and grant me eternal life. Pray that prayer. Pray it over and over again till it clicks with you. And God will cleanse you. You will have great joy. And as you feel your salvation entering into you, return to Jesus. Give him praise and thanks. Be like the Samaritan who came back. And go and worship God with great joy and peace. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.